Huge news, Wayfair shoppers. You still have time to score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Ship fast and easy, just in time for the holidays. Shop Wayfair Cyber Week now through December 7th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The chamber sealed itself with a final metallic moan that echoed like a verdict, and every person inside felt the shift in the air. Not a drop in temperature or pressure. Commodity deeper, like the room had swallowed its last breath of the outside world. Asha didn't blench. She stood at the center, where the pedestal still palpitated with its steady, unreasonable light, as if staying for her to admit it again. Malik moved beside her, shoulders tense, eyes fixed on the sealed doors as if preparing for commodity to come charging through them, indeed, though he knew nothing physical could enter now. Riva paced along the twisted wall, tracing a hand over the sigils that had begun to glow noiselessly, matching the meter of the pedestal. It was as if the entire room had synced itself to one quiet palpitation. Ashes. The others felt it too. They didn't say anything audibly, but the mindfulness hung between them. Whatever medium had honored her in episode 14 was now completely awake. And it was Ent hiding its choice. A soft hum bucket through the bottom, rising into their legs and caricatures like the morning of a resonance that had Ent yet set up its full pitch. The sigils cheered. The pedestal cheered. And also the air itself began to glimmer, pulling the three of them sluggishly into a world suspended between light and memory. A holographic protuberance unfolded above the pedestal, not a flat chart this time, but a three-dimensional chassis of stars, poems, and lines of insolvable figure ringing into shapes their minds had no way been trained to interpret. Asha stepped closer. The protrusions rearranged themselves incontinently, as though bowing. Malik shot her a regard that said everything he didn't dare say out loud. She ignored it. She was too busy watching how the protrusions shifted around her movements, how the light bent without resistance, how the chamber sounded relieved to eventually show what it had been holding back. "This is Ent a chart," she said vocally. Riva stopped pacing. "Also, what's it?" Asha reached her hand into the protuberance. The light sank into her skin like it had been staying periods to make contact. "A record," she rumored. "And a memory." The chassis exploded outward, quietly, beautifully, terrifyingly, into scenes that played around them in full 360 degrees. Not images. Not visions. Moments. Pieces of a story the macrocosm had buried under its own dust and age. They saw the first suns rise, not directly, but literally. Structures forged in the heart of collapsing stars by beings whose outlines were foggy, insolvable to track. They saw societies erected around these suns, using them as cores for knowledge, energy, and transport. They saw the system Asha grew up in, back when it was Ent a cluster of insulated worlds, but a single linked breadth connected by gates forged from solar tube. But more importantly, they saw what broke it. The 13th sun. A dark sphere unlike the others, ringing on a path that bent drugs and scents. It palpitated sluggishly, like a twinkle that echoed across the protuberance. Wherever its presence touched, anomalies appeared, foundations, rifts, deformations. The bright suns bedimmed when it passed. Entire structures twisted. The beings who formerly erected the solar gates tried to contain it, to bind it through figure and force. But the 13th sun was Ent an adversary. It was Ent alive in any natural sense. It was a catalyst, a cosmic consequence. Asha felt every detail not as a bystander, but as if her own memory had opened a retired hole. She rumored to the others, "This happed before we was. Before any record. Before anything we call history." Malik lowered. "Also, why show it to us?" The protuberance shifted again, this time to a lower, more familiar star. Their own. The chamber showed it as it had been when the ancient societies constructed the first gate around it. Also, it showed the mischief star passing in, the bone that had scarred their sun generations agone. But now they understood commodity they no way had before the mischief star didn't just pass. It delivered commodity. A scrap. A shard of the 13th sun. The room darkened as the shard's presence depraved the protuberance. They watched their sun's external subcast twist, flare, also acclimate as the shard bedded itself deep within its inner glamorous fields. The ancient societies detected it incontinently, panicked, and sealed the Sun Gate network rather than threat impurity spreading through the system. They hid their gates, buried the chambers, canceled their knowledge, and dissolved. Malik exhaled sprucely. So the 13th Sun was then the whole time. Part of it anyway. Reva ran both hands through her hair, stunned. And the system has been destabilizing ever ago. The pedestal burned again, brighter. The chamber wanted further attention. No, Asha said. It's not destabilizing. It's aligning. The moment she said the word, the protuberance locked onto her voice. Lines of light connected the ancient gates. The rifts appearing in the sky outside matched perfect positions in the model. The construct vessels arising from those rifts were following a restored pattern, a pattern the shard bedded long agone. Reva staggered back a step. They're not overrunning. They're recalibrating the system for commodity bigger. She swallowed. Commodity, we may not survive. The protuberance shifted again. Now it showed the chamber they were standing in, only not as it was now. As it was ahead, completely active, connected to 12 other chambers across different worlds. A network of cinches meant to hold commodity in place. The 13th Sun's shard. Asha understood incontinently. They erected this to keep the system stable, to keep the shard dormant. And we just woke it up, Malik said still, not criminating, just stating the verity. They all felt crushing their lungs. The protrusions faded into darkness. The sigils bedimmed. For a moment, there was nothing but silence and the faint hum of ministry running on memory aged than their species. Also, the bottom cracked open. Not violently. Not dangerously. The gravestone split in a perfect circle around the pedestal, lowering it sluggishly into a deeper position they had known was. A metallic staircase unfolded outward like the petals of a blooming flower. Light rose from below, amber, warm, ancient. Asha felt the pull before she indeed knew she was moving. Malik seized her wrist artificially.
Stay.
We do not know what's down there.
Asha looked at him with a clarity she couldn't hide.
Yes, we do.
She stepped onto the descending platform. Malik dithered for only a bit of an alternate before joining her. Reva followed, murmuring to herself about terrible opinions and insolvable stakes. The platform carried them over, leaving the fading chamber over. They surfaced into a space that defied armature. The chamber below was globular, but vast, so large they couldn't see the far wall. Light flowed in gutters along the twisted shells, weaving in and out like living aqueducts. Massive structures floated in insolvable equilibrium. Crossbeams of gravestone, crystalline pillars, metallic bends suspended without any visible support. At the center floated a perpendicular column of light stretching from bottom to ceiling, sluggishly rotating. It looked like a beam trapped in glass, but thicker, thick, alive. Asha approached it with reverence.
The air.
Bucket around the column like a held breath staying for authorization to release. This, Reva rumored. This is a core stabilizer. I've only seen theoretical sketches. Malik circled the swimming structure cautiously. What does it stabilize? A voice answered, not from outdoors, not from speakers, not from another human. It came from the column itself. The scrap. The word was unspoken. It simply arrived inside their minds, soft but absolute. Asha didn't flinch. She stepped closer.
You're sentient, she said.
I'm functional. Sentience is inapplicable. Malik rumored under his breath. That's comforting. Asha touched the edge of the column. Light moved up into her fritters, tracing her modes with glowing vestments. Why did you bring us then? She asked. The column answered, You carry resonance with the scrap. You're the only one compatible. Activation requires synchronization. Reva goggled at Asha as if seeing her for the first time. Resonance? With a piece of the 13th Sun? That shouldn't be possible. But Asha formerly knew the answer. She had felt it since occasion 14, since the pedestal first lit beneath her hand. I was born during the solar anomaly, Asha said still. the flare that no bone could explain. Malik understood incontinently. He breathed out a sharp, suspecting laugh. You're ingrained with the shard's hand. The column palpitated.
Correct.
Reva shook her head. So Asha isn't just replying to the systems. She's part of their tuning. A deeper hum filled the globular chamber. The aqueducts of light accelerated, swirling like a controlled storm. The column braked its gyration and also stilled fully. Also came the instruction synchronization sequence will begin. Prepare subject. Subject. Asha didn't blench. Malik did. Hold on, he said sprucely. Prepare her for what? What does synchronization do? The column responded without vacillation. It stabilizes the shard. Without synchronization, system alignment will continue to deteriorate. Rifts will multiply. Collapse probability exceeds 94%. Reva swore under her breath. This entire system is connected to that shard. However, the gravitational deformations alone could tear globes piecemeal if it destabilizes further. Malik stepped between Asha and the column. And what happens to her if you run this sequence? The column broke, the chamber darkening briefly as though calculating the applicable phrasing. Synchronization threat indeterminate. Outgrowth depends on subject integrity and comedy. Asha's voice was steady. Meaning you do and know if I survive. Correct. Silence crashed down on them. Malik turned to Asha, wrathfulness and fear mixing in his expression. We can find another way. This CA and be the only option. The column replied before Asha could. There's no alternate path. Scrap insecurity is accelerating. System collapse is imminent. Asha placed her hands on Malik's shoulders. He was shaking, slightly, though he hit it well. She looked into his eyes, resting him. There was no way another way, she said vocally. It's why the chamber actuated for me. Why it showed me everything. Why the systems woke up now. Reva swallowed hard. Asha, you do and have to. Yes, Asha said. I do. The column glowed brighter. Subject ready. Begin when set. Asha turned toward the ray of light, the air around it creaking. She took one step forward. Malik seized her hand. She didn't pull down. The chamber awaited, quiet, ancient, holding its breath. Asha took another step. Also another. The light of the column reached out to meet her. And the synchronization began. The moment Asha stepped completely into the column of light, the world fractured. Not violently, not sorrowfully, but with a clarity so sharp it felt like stepping through her own reflection. The ray swallowed her figure, turning her into a figure suspended in fluorescence. Malik cried her name, but the sound distorted before reaching her, stretched into commodity slow and echoing. She felt the vibration of his voice, the fear inside it, yet it no longer belonged to the same space she was drifting through. The chamber around her dissolved into bands of color and sound, each subcast shelling down until she was inside a vast interior sky. Her bases no longer touched the bottom. Her breath didn't rise or fall. Time didn't flow forward. It pooled around her such like warm water. The column was ent just light presently. It was a memory field. A conduit.
A ground.
Her body felt both heavy and light, as if she was made of graveness and emptiness at formerly. The light threaded itself into her skin, her bones, her blood. Not sorrowfully, more like it was searching for the right shape to fit into. She was ent absorbing it. It was trying to flash back her. A voice. Not manly or womanish, not mortal or machine, arrived inside her mind. Synchronization initiated. She exhaled, though she was ent sure she still had lungs then. Images burst around her, not in sequence but concentrated, centuries collapsing into each other. She saw the ancient builders forging the suns. She saw their hands move in patterns she honored without knowing why. She saw worlds aligned in perfect figure, held together by commodity deeper than drugs. The 13th sun palpitated in the background of everything, a dark anchor around which the system gently turned. It was ent malignant. It was ent the monster. It was an equation, a force, a balance. Until the mischief star passed. She watched the moment the shard broke down. A violent adhering of energy that shouldn't have been possible. A cosmic accident that changed the fortune of every world in the system. The shard tore through space like a burning arrow and bedded itself in their sun, twisting fields, altering beats, bending entire cycles out of shape. And in the fate, the ancient bones shocked. They sealed the gates.
Also, they sealed themselves.
Asha reached out artificially, trying to touch those fading societies, those faces collapsing into dust. But her hand passed through them like bank. She was meant to change their story, only understand it. The light shifted again. The memory collapsed. She was nearly differently now. Inside the shard, a void stretched before her, but not empty. Lines of captivation danced like vestments of fire. Solar currents roared like abysses made of tube and intent. She felt her knowledge stretch thin as a hair, pulled into the structure of the shard itself. She should have been hysterical. She should have screamed. Rather, she felt a strange sense of belonging, as if this place honored pieces of her the same way the pedestal had. She rumored, not with breath, but aloud, "Why me?" The answer flowed back like a drift returning to reinforcement. "Because you were born inside its palpitation." She saw it, the anomaly flare the day she was born, the one every record said was inoffensive, unexplained, brief. But inside that flare was a resonance pattern matching the shard's innards meter, a hand that brushed across the solar winds and ingrained itself onto her before she took her first breath. She was Ent-chosen. She was Ent-fated. She was simply the first mind shaped in harmony with the shard. The consummation did Ent scarify her. It settled over her such like Verity frequently does, still, inescapably, without authorization. The light around her condensed, belting itself into a sphere. That palpitated briskly and briskly. Asha braced herself, but there was no impact. Rather, she felt commodity enter, deep inside her knowledge. A spark. A seed. A geometric meter that echoed through her chine. Her studies flitted. For a twinkle, she felt herself unyoking. One part still Asha, another dissolving into the shard's armature. Lines of energy ran through her like new modes forming beneath her skin. And also the pain mega hit. It was Ent-physical. It was structural. Like her mind was being asked to hold shapes it was Ent-erected for. The sphere tensed around her, and the shard's meter rose from steady to inviting. A pressure erected behind her forepart also spread through her cranium, down her chine, across every whim-whance. She heaved noiselessly. Her body, wherever it was, arched. She could feel it. She could feel Malik reaching for her, could feel Reva crying instructions, but their voices were distant, muffled, drowned beneath the resonance. The column's voice returned. Adjustment needed. Adding integration factors. "No, delay," she tried to say, but her voice didn't live in this place. The light palpitated again. The shard's meter surged, and commodity inside Asha snapped open like a gate. From outdoors, Malik saw it be. Asha's figure dissolved into the column of light, leaving only a blazing figure behind, foggy, incorporating, reshaping. Reva was crying readings she didn't understand, energy situations spiking, stabilizers rerouting power, neural synchronization exceeding safety thresholds. Malik didn't watch about figures. He watched about Asha agitating inside a ray of ancient alien ministry with no guarantee she'd come out alive. He reached the edge of the column and slammed his triumphs against it. The light repelled him like a wall of solid force. He tried again, putting his full weight into it. It didn't budge. "Asha," he yelled, voice cracking. The ray bucket, but not enough to let him through. Reva ran to his side. "Malik, do Ent if you break the sequence now. The shard destabilizes. That's planetary collapse. Perhaps system collapse." "I do Ent watch," he roared. But the verity was he did. Asha would Ent forgive him for trading their world for her life. She'd march straight out of the afterlife just to tell him how stupid that decision was. Still, his hands stayed against the light, pulsing, refusing to pull down. And also the ray changed. The globular chamber bedimmed. The aqueducts of light braked. The gyration of the ceiling axis halted midshift. Commodity was passing outside. Malik leaned forward, casket pressed to the ray. Asha, hold on, he rumored. Reva watched the reading stabilize for half a alternate, also shaft again with enough force to shake the entire chamber. She stumbled. Malik nearly lost his footing. Cracks of light shot across the bottom, climbing the walls like lightning trapped beneath gravestone. The column's voice filled the chamber. Integration at threshold. Pacing to phase two. Malik cursed under his breath. Phase two? There are phases? Reva seized his arm. We see and intrude. We just have to hope. Her voice cut off as the column erupted in a blast of radiance. Light poured out like a winner collapsing inward. Malik shielded his eyes. Reva fell back. The chamber shook with a low, reverberative smash that bucked all the way into the gist of their bones. When the light subsided, the figure inside the column reappeared, but it was Aunt Asha's figure presently. Not exactly. Inside the coincidence, Asha felt everything slow into a single twinkle, a vast, echoing palpitation that didn't come from her body or the shard, but from their coupling point. She floated inside a sphere of liquid fire, her knowledge stretched thin and luminous. Her recollections flitted out of order. Her mama singing while brushing her hair. Malik glooming at a broken data press. Reva arguing with a hologram about insolvable drugs. The first time, she felt the sun palpitation beneath her triumphs on the Overlook sundeck when she was 12. The quiet hum she always heard in her dreams, but no way honored until now. They concentrated on top of the shard's recollections. Millions of times of ancient construction, collapse, rebuilding, recalibration. She saw the first beings who ever touched its core. She saw the catastrophe that resolved the 13th sun. She saw every attempt to stabilize it fail. Because none of them could reverberate with it. None were born inside the shard's palpitation. Asha's breath sustained, or commodity-like breath sustained inside her. The voice returned. Synchronization complete. You're linked. She opened her eyes, or commodity-like eyes. The sphere dissolved. She fell forward, back into the world of graveness and matter and bodies. And she stepped out of the column. Malik's jaw dropped. Reva seized the nearest press. Asha stood there, not glowing, not levitating, not converted into light, but incontrovertibly different. Her eyes carried a faint ring of shifting color, like the relish of a solar decline. Her palpitation radiated through the room. Her skin hummed with a resonance that made the sigils reply. Malik moved toward her cautiously, as if she might vanish if he blinked. Asha, are you you? She took a slow breath, feeling every subcast of her new connection settle into place like an alternate twinkle. Substantially, she said. But the shard is awake now. Reva stepped forward, face pale. Does that mean the system is stabilizing? Asha turned her new aspect overhead. The chamber responded incontinently, aqueducts of light rising to form a chassis above her. No, she said. It means stabilization is possible. Malik let out a shaky laugh. That sounds like the kind of thing you say right before the macrocosm breaks in half. Asha didn't smile. The shard isn't the problem presently, she said. The system's outdoors are aligning to it. The constructs, the rifts, the suns, they're all moving into position. For what? Reva rumored. Asha placed her hand on the bottom. The light beneath it burned. For commodity, the ancient builders no way finished. She looked at both of them, her voice steady. And we only have hours before the alignment completes. The globular chamber bucked in response, as if attesting every word. The coming phase hadn't begun, but it was coming. And now Asha was part of the system itself. Whether she survived the coming way or not. The timber went silent the moment they stepped deeper into it, as if every branch and splint was holding its breath. Rafi felt the weight of the darkness ending in, not just around them, but inside the air itself. It wasn't the natural kind of dark. It felt alive, watching, staying. Maya brushed her fritters along the dinghy of a crooked tree and pulled her hand back incontinently, startled by how constitutionally cold it was. They followed the faint trail of ash, winding toward the abandoned sanctum. Each step felt heavier than the last, as though the earth itself was advising them to turn back. The sanctum appeared only when they were close enough to touch it, nearly as if it had grown out of the murk. Its gravestone pillars were cracked, wrapped in old vines that looked too important, like modes. A dull red gleam palpitated noiselessly behind the entrance, palpitating like a twinkle. Inside, the air shifted. A low hum bucket through the walls, rising sluggishly, the sound of commodity. Waking up after a long sleep, Rafi changed a tense look with Maya and stepped forward. Right also, the gleam burned, and a figure began to form within it half, mortal, partial, shadow, its eyes burning with a cold fire. The voice that followed was ent loud, but it cut straight through them. It said their names, not cried, rumored, as if it had been staying for them specifically. And that's when they realized the verity this was ent just another haunting. The presence in the sanctum knew who they were, knew why they had come, and was ent planning on letting them leave.